the Scholastic folks, you know them, the ones with all the books. If you ever go to the book fairs, you'll see the Scholastic. They're involved with the importance of reading. And we have with us Michael Hagan, Chief Academic Officer for Scholastic Education. They have a new report in their research series, the Teacher and Principal School Report. This one is focusing on literacy. Michael, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So this report you interviewed almost 5,000, 4,700 to be exact, pre-K to 12 teachers and principals nationwide on the topic of literacy. What are the things you were trying to find out? What questions did you ask those people?
Well, we were talking to our teachers and principals around the country about what are some of those barriers that may block students from having greater success and achievement in literacy. And Scholastic has had a long history of listening to our teachers and to our principals. And so we wanted to hear from them just particular about independent reading. So our students across the country, they have classes, their English classes, their reading classes. And when we looked at the amount of time that was actually spent on independent reading, we discovered that it wasn't as great a time as they thought it would be. It came down to only about 12 minutes a day. And so studies have found that the more time students have reading, the more time they have reading independently, the more words that they're exposed to, the greater their achievement. So we also found that it's really necessary for schools to partner with those families so they can have that relationship or partnership between home and school. So when they're not reading in school, they're able to extend that to the after-school time and at home.
Great. Before we continue on, Michael, are you on a speakerphone or something? We're having a different audio sound than I had when I was talking to you off the air.
I just pulled it off.
Thank you. Yes, very much. It makes it for, there's too much echo that takes place.
Absolutely.
It makes it hard for our listeners as well as us to kind of hear on that. Craig, you had a question?
Well, Michael, you mentioned that the kids are only spending about 12 minutes of their own time reading per day. What are some of the factors keeping them from reading more?
Well, the great factor that we found in the study was teachers were saying that they're so stressed with the curriculum that they have to teach as much of the curriculum as possible. Unfortunately, in order to prepare students for standardized tests, which takes away time from when they would really love for their students to be independently reading or in small groups or doing peer reading. So unfortunately, their time, teachers work extremely hard and leaders work very hard in making sure that students get what required from them from their district and their states.
It's interesting, this topic about reading, what's ultimately reading for fun, reading independently, not reading to test in a sense, has come up on a different other topics for educators we've interviewed that have talked about how we need to sort of have to change this to better prepare and make the students want to read. It seems to be that sometimes we're taking the fun out of reading because it's only something that we're required to do. Is that really kind of what this focuses on too?
Yeah, well, we find that when you expose children to more books, when you have given them culturally relevant titles, when you give them recently published titles and things that they have high interest in, for example, a lot of our students love graphic novels, our young boys do. When you expose them to that and they have more to read and they're reading it on their own, yes, they want to. They have that interest. They want to read more. And then you can put in there, you know, talk with them, give them little strategies that you're looking for. So tell me, who was your favorite character? What did you like about the book? How did the book make you feel? Do you want to read more? Now you have students reading more, exposed to more words, and they love what they're doing.
Michael, do school systems have to sort of readjust what they buy, when they buy it, how often they buy it, how they expose these books to children, or does more of it even fall on local public libraries?
Well, it's a combination of both. Unfortunately, our classroom libraries in our schools are very minimum now. We don't have as many titles that teachers would like to have because of budgets. And the same goes for our libraries, our public libraries and our school libraries. So the report reveals that teachers and principals are saying that, yes, they would like to partner with community organizations and businesses and more groups, but they're not doing it as much as they would like. So it's really going to take all of us coming together as a community to support our public libraries, support our schools and how we look at how funding is allocated and making sure that our classroom libraries are increasing, our public libraries and our school libraries.
We're talking today with Michael Hagan, who is Chief Academic Officer for Scholastic Education. They have a teacher and principal school report focused on literacy. that sort of talks about the state of independent reading in today's schools, the home-to-school connection, and the importance of summer reading. Yeah, summer reading. How do you, once the children are away from that daily routine of the classroom, what's your advice to encourage for that reading during those beautiful summer days where there's other things occupying their time?
Well, Bruce, we found that when students spend the entire year with their teachers learning and getting skills and increasing those skills around literacy, and the summer comes and they're out for 6-7 weeks, there tends to be, in particular for high-poverty schools, even greater, a loss of some of those skills. So when the students come back in the fall, teachers are trying to review the skills, go over them again. So we found that, and we just recently did a study in South Carolina, when schools partner with families and homes, and they encourage summer reading, where students were able to select up to 10 books, take those books home. We have think sheets with each book, so they're reading throughout the summer. Remember I talked about how we want them to select books that are around their interests so they can enjoy doing this reading. Take those books home. After the summer is over, they come back. We found that high percentage of students, not only did they not lose what they've learned through the year, but they also gained more skills. So incredibly encouraged summer reading.
What are some of the things what are the topics that are enjoyable for children these days? What are the interests? Does that change over the time that you've been with Scholastic? What you see? What reports have you had on that?
Well, as far as the interest, it depends on the grade levels. And we didn't look at the student interest in the report, but just from my experience of being in schools, it depends on the age. Students, I talked about graphic novels. We're really finding that our young men are really choosing graphic novels, and some young ladies as well. It may not be the teacher's first interest, but it is the student. And when you look at the vocabulary in those novels, they're actually quite high, and it creates students to think. We still have our love for Harry Potter. We released a new Harry Potter last year, and of course, all of our students of all ages love that. And then you still have your Captain Underpants to your the basic short stories for students and younger kids.
We seem to get a lot of people here sending us young YA. What is it, young adult? Is that the abbreviation for that? Novels? You know, there's that sort of that tween to early teens. Has that become also popular? That seems to be an area that a lot of writers are focusing on.
It is very popular. You have your Babysitter's Club and you have other series like those. And then you really, once a student becomes about 11 or 12, oftentimes they drop off their interest of just wanting to read because, as you know, once they get to school, they're required reading. So when you have the young adult readers and you can get those students interested in those novels, I think that's a great thing.
Do those young adult readers end up somehow reaching back to classics in a sense? Does that inspire them to, I don't know if there's ever references to other things that maybe want them to find out other novels that, you know, have been on the shelves for many years for a reason because they're excellent books?
I think what needs to happen is for teachers and educators, we need to encourage our students, wow, you enjoy that story. I have something that I think you would really enjoy. Instead of saying requiring it, offering it to them and suggesting to students, here's something that I think you can really enjoy. Why don't you guys read about it and tell me what you think?
We're talking today with Michael Hagan, Chief Academic Officer of Scholastic Education. Where can people find out about this full report? Maybe get a little, especially teachers and principals maybe who need to take a look at it, or parents. Where's a good place to get the information about this?
You can get the full report online at www.scholastic.com/teacher-principal-report.
That sounds great. We appreciate your time, Michael. Thanks for sharing your morning with us.
Thanks, Bruce. You guys have a great one.
You too. Michael Hagan, Chief Academic Officer for Scholastic Education. Craig, I wonder if you go to that site, will you see somewhere on that site Clifford the Big Red Dog, right? Isn't he like their logo?
Well, I would hope
for
so.
For the Scholastic?
I like Clifford.
Oh, I love Clifford as well.
What about Captain Underpants?
Well, okay, sure.
Have you read Captain Underpants?
I've only seen the cover of it. My daughter was into the Wimpy Kids.
Hmm.
Wimpy Kid? You know, that particular phrase from that?
Yeah, but, sure.
But, I've seen the Captain Underpants. I have sort of an affinity to Captain Underpants. I won't discuss it this moment here, but it is 7.
I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, give me two.
Do you
minutes.
Know this is an Ohio-based book?
What is Captain Underpants?
Yeah.
Oh, I was not aware of that whole thing.
But yeah.
But judging them from the fact that my initials growing up are BVD,
I have
a whole other underpants issue.
There's Did anyone ever call you Captain Underpants?
No, I was referred to during my eighth grade English class by Mr. Regovich as Mr. Underpants.